of a journey. The prayers of Queen Kunti are very wonderful. Is there a Bhagavad Gita nearby? Yeah. Here, in our Bhagavad Gita, just look at this picture. Now, this isn't the exact picture I would like everyone to think about, but I don't know how good your eyesight is. But just look at this beautiful Krishna in his armor, addressing the Bhagavad Gita, speaking to Sri Arjun. Can you see? So beautiful. Everything, Krishna is called Bhushanam Bhushanananam. He is the ornament of the ornaments that he wears, because an ornament's purpose is to beautify the body. But Krishna is so wonderful that the ornament is beautified when Krishna wears it. This beautiful Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Krishna, in this picture here, he is the chariot driver of Arjuna. He's taken that position. But this very wonderful, beautiful personality is now not the chariot driver of Arjuna, but he has stepped upon the chariot himself, and he has his own driver, whose name is Naraka. And he's about to leave, depart, from having protected the Pandavas. He's about to depart for Dwarka, which is his home. He has his family members there. The Yadus are there. The Vrishnis are there. All his family members are there. He's been apart for them, from them. Beautiful Krishna has just saved, by his potency, he's just saved the Pandavas and Maharaj Prickett within the womb. He's just saved them from the Brahmastra throne, the deadly Brahmastra that never misses its mark. He saved the Pandavas and the heir of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Prickett within the womb, from this deadly Brahmastra. He's leaving, and Kunti Devi stops him and begins speaking and offering prayers and obeisances. Namaste Purusham Tadyam. Remember, this beautiful Krishna is Purusham Tadyam, the original personality. Original personality, what does that mean? That he, this person, is the origin of everything. He's our origin, he's the origin of our parents, he's the origin of the trees, the origin of the sun, the moon, the universes, stretching back since the beginning of time, which has no beginning. It is Krishna, this beautiful personality, sitting upon the chariot with his driver Dwarka, looking scarcely more than 20, 25, 28 years old, who's inside and outside of everything, on the chariot, having protected the Pandavas. He's all pervading yet localized. He's in one place, but he's every place. And he has characteristics. Practically the first thing we hear is how he had protected the Pandavas. That means that he protects his devotees. And we just heard yesterday that he's partial to everyone. A few days ago we heard Jiva Goswami's comment that Krishna is partial to his devotees, but he wants to be partial to all living entities. So it's not exactly a partiality, because he wants to be partial to all living entities. And there, this mysterious, even contradictory personality who possesses what is known as Achintya Shakti, inconceivable power, that he can take the contradictory, most contradictory and bewildering things, such as him being the source of everything, such as him being all-pervading, such as him being localized, and bring those to a reconciliation without any difficulty. Mysterious personality who is not under the modes of material nature, who is free to act, not impelled by anything, atmaramayo, shantaye. He is fully self-satisfied, but yet he acts. Not to gain anything, but yet he acts. And he has a personality. And oh, what a wonderful, all-charming personality he has. And Kunti Devi has just said reasons. First she expresses her bewilderment in one sense as to this personality, unborn, contradictory, yet he's taken his birth as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. He is the impartial Lord, but yet it doesn't look like he's treating everyone impartially. Some people get one thing and another person gets another thing, but yet he's completely impartial. Yet he's partial to his devotees. Yet he's impartial in that he wants everyone to be a devotee. And he has taken his birth. Why? To glorify the members of the Yadu dynasty. To invigorate the process of hearing and chanting. To bewilder us with his all-attractive, charming pastimes, such as the one that Kunti Devi mentioned, where he's crying, real tears are coming from his eyes when Mother Yasoda is holding a stick to him and saying, Krishna, you're being too naughty. You've stolen butter, you have broken the butter pot, and you have munificently distributed the butter to the monkeys. Must punish you now. And Krishna's crying, and the mascara is running down his eyes and beautifying his wonderful, beautiful face. And Kunti Devi knows that this one who is crying is Purusham Tadyam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Prakritim Param, the Supreme Controller of all Prakriti. And yet, tears are running down his eyes, so she says, oh, this is so bewildering. And we heard yesterday how Krishna performs his pastimes to invigorate the process of devotional service, which consists of hearing and chanting. This is the this is the essence of the process of bhakti, hearing about Krishna and chanting his glories. So Kunti Devi explains that this is why Krishna has come. Because when Krishna performs his pastimes, it gives all living entities something to talk about and something to hear about that will save them from birth and death and carry them to the lotus feet of Krishna. And stop the materialistic garbage from entering the holes of our ears. Because the ears must be filled with something. With our eyes, we can close them and stop seeing. and we can open them. With our hands that we use to touch, we can stop them from operating. But how do you stop your ears, practically speaking? Even if you go like this, you can still hear. The ears are always open, even when we sleep. And the trick is to always keep them filled with Krishna Katha. So to enliven us, to invigorate us in the process of devotional service, chinvanti, gayanti, grinanti, so that we accept the process of hearing and chanting, Krishna comes. And therefore, what will be the result of attentively and strongly grasping and holding on to the process of hearing and chanting? Kunti Devi has said that the conditioned soul suffering from material pangs. What does material pangs mean? What's a material pang? That's an interesting word, pang. A material pang. It sounds like a soft drink or something. Have you had your pang today? What's an example of a material pang? Yeah? Yeah, hankering, lamenting. Pang means suffering. Disease. What else? Pangs of material life. Yeah, birth, death, intense desire, frustration, diseases. The lust, the anger, the illusion, the fighting, these cause such distress within the heart of the living entity. And one can be freed from this if we take advantage of hearing, remembering, and worshipping Krishna. This alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. So now, after describing this wonderful personality, offering him obeisances, offering him prayers, now Kunti Devi is going to present her her actual prayers to Krishna. She wants something from Krishna. Not, I want something for you. She hasn't taken any courses in aggressive assertiveness. No, but very, very sweetly she has glorified Krishna, but still she wants to make a humble request, place the submission before him. What will she ask for? Text 37. She says, Oh my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today, though we are completely dependent on your mercy? And we have no one else to protect us now when all kings are at enmity with us? On one hand, the Pandavas, and certainly Queen Kunti Devi, has never, practically, since the birth of the Pandavas, they have never been in a more favorable situation. Previously, their protectors, Dhritarashtra especially, was their avowed enemy, trying to do away with them so his own sons could be placed on the throne. And now, after the battle of Kurukshetra, the war is over, the fight is over, and Yudhisthira Maharaj is the king. So in one sense, they're in the best situation. But Kunti Devi said, you have executed all your duties yourself, indicating that all this was Krishna's will. And she's wondering, Krishna, are you leaving us now? As if we don't need you anymore? When we were in distress? Vipada tat... Vipara tat, vipara, yes. When we were in such difficulty, you stayed with us. But now I want to remind you that our difficulties are not over. Why? We're still completely dependent on your mercy, as we were always dependent on your mercy. And even the external difficulties, they are not over. Because there is, the Prabhupada will explain it in his purport, the sons and the grandsons of all the kings who opposed us, they are still alive and they will attack us. We have so many enemies. We are still completely dependent on you. Here is Prabhupada's purport. The Pandavas. Now, remember what Kunti Devi is doing. She's revealing Krishna to us. Because we are so far away from Krishna. We unfortunate souls stuck with our eyes closed in the material world, seeing basically our eyelids only. We cannot actually see. Because seeing, actual seeing means seeing Krishna. So Kunti Devi, who sees Krishna, is teaching us how to see Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas are giving us insights into, further insights into Krishna, into the Lord, by explaining more deeply the mind of, explaining more deeply what Kunti Devi is revealing. So here, listen very closely to this and see how we can become an exalted personality like Kunti Devi is an exalted person and be able to see Krishna. The Pandavas are most fortunate because with all good luck they were entirely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. In the material world, to be dependent on the mercy of someone else is the utmost sign of misfortune. But in the case of our transcendental relation with the Lord, it is the most fortunate case when we can live completely dependent on Him. The material disease is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything. But the cruel material nature does not allow us to become independent. The false attempt to become independent of the stringent laws of nature is known as material advancement of experimental knowledge. The whole material world is moving on this false attempt of becoming independent of the laws of nature. There's a struggle going on. There's a struggle going on, and it is to conquer, dominate and exploit nature. That is the job of the materialistic mind. How to exploit nature? All science and technology is based on this idea, so we can enjoy it. Exploit it so we can enjoy. I am Purusha, and material nature is Prakriti, Bhunte Prakriti Janiha. The whole material world is moving on this false attempt of becoming independent of the laws of material nature. Rather than being dependent on nature, we want to be independent, and we want nature to be dependent on us. We want to be able to snap our fingers, and we want the clouds to pour rain. Notice how we have not been very successful. But in the future, this is not the first time this mood has been there, Prabhupada explains. Beginning from Ravana, who wanted to prepare a direct staircase to the planets of heaven, down to the present age, they are trying to overcome the laws of nature. They are trying now to approach distant planetary systems by electronic mechanical power. But the highest goal of human civilization is to work hard under the guidance of the Lord and become completely dependent on Him. That is not in the contemporary mood, in case you didn't notice. To become completely dependent on Him, to work hard under His guidance and depend on Him. The highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor, but at the same time depend completely on the Lord. Sometimes the question is, whether we should not work and just depend on Krishna or work with the best of our ability and depend on Krishna. And here is the answer. We should work with valor and yet not depend on our valor. Still, despite our heroic attempt, we cannot be successful without Krishna. So we should depend on Him, but yet work. We want to either not work or not depend on Krishna. But we're supposed to do both. Work to our best with valor, but yet completely depend on the Lord. The Pandavas were the ideal executors of this standard of civilization. Undoubtedly, they were completely dependent on the goodwill of Lord Sri Krishna. But they were not idle parasites of the Lord. They were all highly qualified, both by personal character and by physical activities. They were so competent. Arjuna spent so much time acquiring weapons. Yes? He spent so much time acquiring this Shakti and this power and this power. He went to the heavenly planets to acquire... But why did he do that if it was ultimately just Krishna who was going to award success? No, he had to do his part. This is the system. Still, despite their qualifications, they always looked upon the mercy of the Lord because they knew that every living entity is dependent by constitutional position. The perfection of life is, therefore, to become dependent on the will of the Lord instead of becoming falsely independent in the material world. Those who try to become falsely independent of the Lord are called anatta, or without any guardian. Anatta means orphan. That is the word for orphan. If someone's an orphan, anat. He has no Lord. He has no guardian. Whereas those who are completely dependent on the will of the Lord are called sanata, or those having someone to protect them. Therefore, we must try to be sanata, so that we can always be protected from the unfavorable condition of material existence. By the deluding power of the external material nature, we forget that the material condition of life is the most undesirable perplexity. The Bhagavad Gita therefore directs us that after many, many births, one fortunate person becomes aware of the fact that Vasudeva is all in all, and that the best way of leading one's life is to surrender unto Him completely. That is the sign of a Mahatma. All the members of the Pandava family were Mahatmas in household life. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the head of those Mahatmas, and Queen Kunti Devi was the mother. The lessons of the Bhagavad Gita and all the Puranas, specifically the Bhagavad Purana, are therefore inevitably connected with the history of the Pandava Mahatmas. For them, separation from the Lord was just like the separation of a fish from water. Who has seen a fish out of water? Has anyone not seen a fish out of water? Does the fish out of water enjoy himself? Is it possible for a fish out of water to enjoy himself? There is nothing that one can do to stop his gills from flapping in pain and terror, except place him back in the water. What anxiety the fish is in when he's out of his element of water. Complete and total anxiety. And that's compared to the Pandavas. Separation from the Lord was just like the separation of a fish from water. Just think about that example. How intensely the Pandavas must have been living in the and breathing the association of Krishna as their very sustenance. Srimati Kunti Devi, therefore, felt such separation like a thunderbolt Another example. Can you imagine getting hit by a thunderbolt? It would kill us. It would be immediately finished. And the impending separation of Krishna, Kunti Devi was thinking of it in that way. And the whole prayer of the queen is to try to persuade the Lord to stay with them. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Kunti Devi wasn't thinking philosophically at this point that if I chant Krishna's names, Abhinatam Namanamano, Krishna will actually be there, so therefore it doesn't make a difference if Krishna is here or there. No. The impending separation was thought of like a thunderbolt for Kunti, and she was trying to persuade the Lord to stay with them. After the battle of Kurukshetra, although the inimical kings were killed, their sons and grandsons were still there to deal with the Pandavas. It is not only the Pandavas who are put into the condition of enmity, but all of us are always in such a condition. So Prabhupada is taking that example and taking the pointing finger from the Pandavas who are in a difficult situation to us. We are always in a difficult situation. Even when we're at the top of the world, it's just a matter of time before the bottom falls out. This is the very nature of the material world. And the best way of living is to become completely dependent on the will of the Lord and thereby overcome all difficulties of material existence. It is not that the difficulties will be overcome in the sense that they will stop, but they will be blessings. As much as possible they will stop, but they will be blessings and they will bring us closer to Krishna. So after saying that, Kunti Devi explains further in her attempt to pray to Krishna, present before Krishna her plea that he stay. She says, because Krishna is leaving, now that Yudhisthira is the king, the enemies have been killed. So the first thing she says, no, don't think that we're out of danger because the battle is over. Just contrary to that, we're even in greater danger because all the relatives are now even more inimical with us because we've killed them. So now we need you more than ever. So it appears that we're in such an elevated position as the king, but no, Krishna, it is not like that. Text 38. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, if you are not here to see us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. Without you, in other words, dear Krishna, we have nothing. O Gadadhara Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet. What a beautiful picture. What a sweet way of speaking Kunti Devi has. In English we'd say, Krishna, you are here. You're standing in front of me. But how sweetly she's speaking. Our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. She's saying that anything, regardless of how beautiful it is, without Krishna, is zero. Krishna is the beautifying element. I'd like to read a little of a lecture Prabhupada gave, and that was included in the prayers of Kunti Devi book. Kunti Devi prays, this is Srila Prabhupada speaking, that Krishna continued to be present with her and the Pandavas. In fact, however, Krishna was not leaving the Pandavas, just as he never left Vrindavan. In the Shastra, the Vedic literature, it is said, Vrindavanam prityaja palam ekam nagasyati. Krishna never goes even one step from Vrindavan. He is so much attached to Vrindavan. How is it then that we see that Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura and then far away to Hastinapur and did not return for many years? Actually, Krishna did not leave. For all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, after Krishna left, were always thinking of him and crying. The only engagement of Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, Radharani, and all the gopis, cows, calves, and cowherd boys was to think of Krishna and cry. And in this way, they felt Krishna to be present, because Krishna's presence can be felt more strongly in separation from him. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, to love Krishna in separation. Sunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, everything is vacant without Govinda, without Krishna. Everything was vacant, but Krishna consciousness was there. When we see everything as nothing, but have only Krishna consciousness, we shall have attained the highest perfection. Therefore the gopis are so exalted, having attained this perfection, they could not forget Krishna even for a single moment. When Krishna went to the forest with his cows and calves, the minds of the gopis at home were disturbed. Oh, Krishna is walking barefoot, they thought. There are so many stones and nails on the path, and they must be pricking Krishna's lotus feet, which are so soft that we think our breasts hard when Krishna puts his lotus feet upon them. Thus, they would cry, absorbed in these thoughts. The gopis were so anxious to see Krishna back home in the evening that they would stand on the path, looking to see Krishna returning with his calves and cows. This is Krishna consciousness. Krishna cannot be absent from a devotee when the devotee is intensely absorbed in Krishna thought. Here Kunti Devi is very much anxious, thinking that Krishna will be absent. But the actual effect of Krishna's physical absence is that he becomes more intensely present within the mind of the devotee. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the example of his actual life, taught Vipralamba Seva, service of Krishna in separation. Tears would come from his eyes like torrents of rain, for he would feel everything to be vacant for want of Krishna. Kunti Devi continues. So it's interesting to note that people are thinking in the material world that if I depend on Krishna, no one's going to take care of me, I'm going to be impoverished, I'll always be in difficulty. Rather, I trust myself. So many people have told me that even. I believe in myself. Depend on another, as Prabhupada was explaining, is considered misfortune. But just listen to what Kunti Devi says about the opulence that comes from adopting this mood of dependence on Krishna, as the Pandavas did. All these cities and villages are flourishing in all respects because the herbs and grains are in abundance. The trees are full of fruits, the rivers are flowing, the hills are full of minerals, and the oceans full of wealth. And this is all due to your glancing over them. I'm going to read Prabhupada's purport. Human prosperity flourishes by natural gifts, and not by gigantic industrial enterprises. The gigantic industrial enterprises are products of a godless civilization, and they cause the destruction of the noble aims of human life. The more we go on increasing such troublesome industries to squeeze out the vital energy of the human being, the more there will be unrest and dissatisfaction of the people in general. Although a few only can live lavishly by exploitation, the natural gifts such as grains and vegetables, fruits, rivers, the hills of jewels and minerals, and the seas full of pearls are supplied by the order of the Supreme. And as he desires, material nature produces them in abundance or restricts them at times. The natural law is that the human being may take advantage of these godly gifts by nature and satisfactorily flourish on them without being captivated by the exploitive motive of lording it over material nature. This basically is the exploitive motive of lording it over material nature. That is the motto of contemporary civilization. If we have sufficient grains, fruits, vegetables, and herbs, then what is the necessity of running a slaughterhouse and killing poor animals? A man not need kill an animal if he has sufficient grains and vegetables to eat. The flow of river waters fertilizes the fields, and there is more than what we need. Minerals are produced in the hills and the jewels in the oceans. If the human civilization has sufficient grains, minerals, jewels, water, milk, etc., then why should it hanker after terrible industrial enterprise at the cost of the labor of some unfortunate men? But all these natural gifts are dependent on the mercy of the Lord. What we need, therefore, is to be obedient to the laws of the Lord and achieve the perfection of human life by devotional service. The indications by Kunti Devi are just to the point. She desires that God's mercy be bestowed upon them so that natural prosperity be maintained by His grace. So if we depend on Krishna, one thing is produced. If we try to get technological advancement and make that the purpose of our life and the purpose of civilization and try to increase and exploit and enjoy increased technology, more facility, more, never satisfied, then a different result is produced. Okay.
The bank is, they are very much busy just this morning, our bank is coming down or speaking of the article. The scientists are very much busy that the source of supply is being decreased. Just like petroleum gas, that is diminishing. The whole modern materialistic civilization is depending on the motor cars and aeroplanes, transportation. If the petroleum supply stops, then what will be the condition of the society? Formerly there was no need of going to see a friend 30 miles away. Because every friend was within the village. Now because we have got motor car, we create fences of the man who lives 50 miles away. We accept a job 50 miles away. In Hawaii, our Gosunda was going to attend office 50 miles off. By 50 miles off, in big cities, like New York, Calcutta, we have seen people are coming to attend their office from 100 miles off. I have seen also in aeroplane, there are many people England, many workers or gentlemen, they're coming from Glasgow to London for working by aeroplane. So we have created a civilization that we have created a facility for transport by motor car or by aeroplane, but side by side we have created another difficulty that a man has to go to his work 300 miles away. Side by side. Formerly, a man used to walk on his field a few steps from his house. Now we have created facility of transport, therefore we have to go to work 300 miles away from home. This is the question. But they have no brain, they are thinking, they are advancing. Advancing in this way, that for my livelihood, I have to go 300 miles, 3 hours at least, not less than 3 hours, or 6 hours, I have to spoil. Then I can go to my office. Then I walk there whole day, and again come, again 6 hours. Then I come at night to sleep along with my family for 3 hours. Yes. This is our facility. Yes. There is a story, not story, it is a fact.